This week's episode of Recess Duty is sponsored by Toddle. The Inquire Educator Summit is back for its third and largest edition yet, designed to be a festival of learning like no other. TIES 22 features thoughtful leaders like Dylan William, Kath Murdoch, Ron Rickhart, Jim Knight, and Trevor McKenzie, and over 100 other educators across 10 plus unique session formats, created for you to transform your practice. TIES 22 gives educators like us opportunities to foster lifelong connections through an engaging pre-conference called Connect, learning new strategies at Learn, the main conference, and transfer learning to our classroom at Transfer, the post-conference. Head to www.toddleapp.com/ties now to get your all-access pass. As listeners of the Recess Duty podcast, you can get up to 20% off on your TIES 2022 passes by using the discount code TIES2022RDP at checkout. So hurry and get your all-access pass today. TIES is brought to you by Toddle, an all-in-one teaching learning platform for IB and other progressive schools.
Welcome to Recess Duty, a podcast for educators to come together to share struggles, but also celebrate successes by sharing stories and ideas in a safe and supportive environment to collaborate with one another. Here's your host, Levi Allison.
Hey everyone, this is Recess Duty with your host, Levi Allison. And today we're talking with authors and student empowers, Catherine Finch and Teresa Hoover. We'll be discussing their journey and experience in education today. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you both doing today?
I'm doing great. This is Catherine. Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, me too. This is Teresa. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my goodness. I'm so happy and proud and excited that you're both here. You both co-wrote a beautiful, beautiful book, Pass the Baton, that talks about student empowering through music. And as a music educator, and as someone that's new to inquiry and student empowering, I really resonated with us. So thank you so much for being here. Catherine, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into education?
Let's see, I am a K-5 general music teacher. I've been teaching for 20 plus years. Always K-5. That's my jam, what I love to do. I come from a family of teachers. My dad was a teacher. My mother was a teacher. Grandparents. So teaching is just in the blood. So I remember when I was young, playing with my sisters and the neighbors, like everything was school. So it was just in my blood. And I think when I began to have a love for music, it was just, that was what I should do, music and teaching.
Yeah. That's so pretty.
Yeah.
And Teresa, you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into education.
Okay. Well, kind of similar to Catherine. Yeah. My family was not teachers, but I, from a very young age, knew that I was going to be a teacher. My mom claims that I taught my sister to read when I was 6 and she was 3. Whether that's true or not, I don't really know, but that's the story she tells. But yeah, and then I was, you know, involved in music all through high school and just knew that I wanted to be a music teacher. I taught for 19 years, mostly instrumental music, but really I did the gamut, everything from kindergarten through high school, general music, band, orchestra, a little bit of choir, lots of marching band, all of that. But most recently, I was teaching middle school band in Northern Virginia, right outside Washington, D.C. This year, I'm doing things a little different. I'm actually taking a year out of the classroom and just doing some freelance work for 2 music tech companies and providing teacher professional development. So trying to help the teachers.
That's so amazing. Thank you so much. That is so exciting. And as somebody who is following both of your Twitter accounts very religiously and your YouTube channel, your work is standing on its own. You know, you're empowering not only students, but teachers and giving them a voice of how to also improve. So I absolutely want to talk about your book because, again, big fan. So can you tell us a little bit of how the book started? Why did you want the book? And the journey that you went through with co-writing it.
Yeah. So what did we decide? Was it 4 years ago about Catherine and I actually met on Twitter. we were participating in it was called a MOOC. So a massive online open course through the book, The Innovator's Mindset by George Kuros, which I know Catherine and I both would highly recommend everybody get their hands on because it was a fantastic book. throughout this course, you were supposed to participate in Twitter chats and do blog post sharing and just kind of interactive things. And we happened to be two music teachers and just we're like, oh, another music teacher. This is awesome. And we connected that way. I guess we've said this a couple times recently. We've discovered that you write the book you want to read. And that's where we were. We were, you know, we were reading this awesome book about innovation and we were just connecting with these awesome people and saying like, where is this in music? Where is the music book about this? And then one of us said, let's write it.
And I think we just found so much value in talking to each other, right? We found each other's blogs and I knew like if I wrote that Teresa would push my thinking and vice versa. And we had such a good, she pushed my thinking so much just because she had, you know, some schema about my specific job life. And so it was just like, we need this as educators, as music educators, we need this. You know, sometimes we feel so isolated in our buildings and it's sometimes hard to connect with others. But when we do, it's just amazing how it pushes your thinking and how much you can come together when you collaborate. So it just kind of kept growing until we decided, we got to write this book and wrote everything on Google Docs. And we used a Voxer app to just kind of talk back and forth with each other about edits and how we wanted to do things. And I love that I think it was 2 or 3 weeks before we turned in the manuscript. It was the first time I got to meet Teresa in person. She came to Chicago for a conference and we were like, we got to meet up. So I can attest that she's real. I got to meet her in person.
Yeah. And I will say, like, before we actually said, oh, we're going to write an actual book, we had been doing a lot of blogging and we were writing and we were kind of finding our voices in that way. And even just that process of blogging was awesome. Like, and I'm sure you're finding this with the podcast, like the reflectiveness that was required to write something. Like, it's one thing for me to sit down and, you know, write about how a lesson went, but like to think about, okay, now I'm going to be sharing this with, I don't know how many people. Let's really think about how that lesson went and let's really dig into what went well. What would I do differently? What would somebody else need if they wanted to try something? And so that process of just the blogging was awesome. I think that's where we probably both got hooked.
We did start I think I started my blog just because I was like, wow, you know, when I'm reflective like that, it really does push my thinking and improve my instruction, but no, I would never have thought that that would have led to a book like that was, or a podcast or a YouTube channel. Like none of that was ever in my mind when we started. It just slowly grows, you know, as you grow. So it's really amazing what can come of just putting two heads together and being reflective.
I always say, you know, that reflective piece is probably the most underutilized tool in our arsenal in the classroom. Is we're always moving at the speed of light of what's the next thing? Where can we go? How do we get to moving, getting to point B, but really taking that time to really take a moment and reflect. And as music teachers, having hundreds of students, that is probably the one thing that I miss the most is that reflective piece. And it was the first thing when I moved to a new school and I had tech coaches. I was like, how can I make it more automated? How can I take it away from pencil and paper? Because I did with the pencil paper and I would just have hundreds of pieces of paper flying everywhere. And I'll never forget my buddy saying, just make a QR code with Google Form and then it tabulates everything. And then you can go back and sort it by name. And then all those reflections are right there for that student for the course of the semester. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so smart. And it was really helpful. So no, I totally agree with the reflection piece. Was there some challenges that you both overcame or you found that you didn't expect through the reflective process of writing this book?
I mean, one thing that was hard was, you know, we wanted to write something that would be meaningful to a very broad audience, which is why, you know, I had instrumental experience, Catherine had general vocal experience. We thought that helped, but we wanted also to be able to say like, there's research behind this. And we had a hard time finding that. We had a hard time sometimes like backing up what we experienced and what we were noticing with other sources. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And also I think too, we wanted to make sure that we have encores in the book. So we have people who are, you know, educators and that are out there doing it in their own way in their own classrooms. And so I think we just challenged ourselves to make sure that we found all different kinds of situations, like a diverse group of people in the music education profession, that so it wasn't just, you know, elementary music examples of people I know or band people that Teresa knows, but, you know, a diverse group of people. So we scoured the internet and asked people and talked and looked at blogs and all kinds of things. So we were able to, I think, in the end, happy with what we, who we found and who we put in the book. But at the same time, that was definitely like a challenge for us to make sure that we found people in all areas of music education, making that shift. Mm-hmm.
But then it was also encouraging when we did. So we're like, yay, we're not the only crazy ones.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
What is something through this process that you wish you would have known when you started out?
It takes a lot longer than
I could imagine. I know when I was talking, I think it was you, Catherine, when I said, yeah, I'm kind of interested in writing a book. And I was like, but I have no idea how to start. And you said it was just a really long blog post. And I was like, oh, it takes me hours to make one blog post. I don't want to do that. I was like, no way. So, but I do think, I think you all had a great idea of writing it with a friend. Cause I think that was just like that the energy that you get through talking about it. And it's just very, what's the word I'm looking for? Invigorating. Like it just makes you keep wanting to go. And I think doing that way would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there were times that it was hard if we got off the writing bandwagon, that was hard to get back on. But I think Teresa was the one that found like a log. We made a log for ourselves and it was like, what did you do and when did you do it and what's next or whatever. And that helped kind of renew the writing process. Cause then it was like, oh man, Teresa's been going. I gotta get on there and look at what she's done and then do some more myself and, you know, make sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing. So, you know, we're moving it forward. So that was helpful too, to just, I think maybe if we had started something like that at the beginning of our process, that might have helped us speed up the writing. But yeah, you kind of live and learn as you go, for sure.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
So for educators out there in general, and I do use the term educators, not just music teachers, who are wanting to empower students, who are wanting to really listen to their voice and really make sure that their learning is co-created, what is some advice through your experience of teaching, consulting, and writing a book that you would like to give them out there?
The biggest thing is don't be afraid to take a risk. Like, don't be afraid for something to go wrong. Just, or even tell yourself something's going to go wrong or something will go differently than you planned. And it's really okay. I think for most people, it's just that fear is why they don't want to take a step, because it's something different. It's out of the comfort zone. Oh, but what if this happens? Well, if that happens, you just pivot and try something different.
Yeah. And I think for me, I've always, because I am somebody who will try something, but I'm very timid about it. And so when I do a project or do something with a coworker or a friend, it pushes me forward. So I've worked with Teresa. I also work with somebody in my district, Abigail Blair, she's another music teacher in the district. And we're the Blair Finch Project. Her last name is Blair. So we just push each other, but I've teamed up with someone who is, she will try so many things. And so I'll see her trying something, I'm like, oh my goodness, I should try that in my room. And we just kind of push each other that way, because it's like you've got somebody to talk to and talk through it. Okay, I'm worried about this and this. But, you know, she'll say, okay, well, then let's do this. Or, you know, Teresa will say, you know what, it's going to be okay, try it. And then tomorrow's a new day and we'll, you know, come up with a new plan. And so, I guess for me, it's finding somebody else to talk to. And I think when you ask questions about your own instruction, it just helps you move forward, right? You just take a step, because you're not going to stay. When you're asking questions, when you make a mission statement of goals you're going to do for the year, like, it's amazing how much can happen when you just put it down on paper. Yes. And post it on a you know, bulletin board in front of you and just constantly ask yourself those questions. How am I going to offer more voice in the classroom? How am I going to offer kids choice? And when you just ask those questions, it's amazing how something will come across your desk, or you'll see a presentation, or you'll hear a podcast and think like, oh, wow, I could do that too.
There are so many things that I'm immediately connecting with. First of all, one of my very good friends very early on told me, you need to have a tennis buddy. And I said, I don't play tennis. And he's like, no, we're not talking about tennis like the game. We're talking about going back and forth. Yes, and. How did that work? How did that fail? Second thing is, my principal in high school would always tell us, write a goal and put it in on the inside of your locker. And he would always quote some research from somewhere who says, if your goal is forefront and you see it every day, you're X amount of percent more likely to achieve it. And I know that seems so silly, but it is absolutely true. It is absolutely true, because now I don't have a locker anymore, but I have a desk. And so I tape my goal to the inside of my planner and to my desk. So I'm constantly referring to it every day about how am I achieving this goal? Even if it's one step, like you said, that's okay, because it's one step closer than what you were getting to.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who will put like the sticky note on the bathroom mirror, you know, same idea.
It's the exact same idea.
It's putting it right there so you see it.
So what is some goals, now that we're talking about goals? What are some goals? You've co-wrote this book. You have had great careers. What are some goals for you moving forward?
That's a tough one. I mean, for me right now, my goal is to figure out how I can help teachers do this in their own classrooms. Right. Because I feel like music teachers, there is definitely professional development opportunities available. There's, you know, it's stuff's out there, but sometimes it's not the professional development that's going to really make that kind of an impact for students, the kind that will empower them, the kind of student that's going to give the students ownership and really give them some different experiences than we had when we were in school. So that's my goal right now, is how can I help the teachers implement this kind of, you know, teaching and learning in their own classrooms?
Yeah, and I think mine is I'm back in school. We still have some restrictions due to COVID, but we're back in school. We're back in person. And so I feel like I'm constantly fighting myself with getting back into the routine of, you know what I mean? Like, so we always have done something some way. And I think I'm trying to question things. Why do we do that? Do we need to keep doing that? Is there a better way to do it? You know, or is there an opportunity here to change a way we do a performance or a way we do some kind of tradition for the betterment of the kids? Like, you know, it, you know, so when you, because we've had, you know, in a way, 2 years of not doing certain things, this would be a great time to change something if it needs to be changed. And so I think it's just, I'm tired and we're all challenged this year. And yet I'm still trying to just think through when I can, you know, the things that I do. And if there's areas for, you know, an opportunity to change something for the better for the kids, then this is the time to do it. So
yeah,
that's what I'm kind of focusing on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've seen a lot on Twitter about having those exact conversations of, you know, we haven't had a concert in 2 years. We haven't had this traditional thing that we've done in the school for 100 years or everything. Mm-hmm. And then having that step back of, is that bringing us joy? Is that supporting students? And if it's not, what can we do instead to empower those students? And having those conversations with each other has really helped a lot of people really realize we're doing way too much. Let's focus on what's the most important and really make that important and make that shine, because that's what's going to impact student learning and well-being.
Well, and I feel like this year, with so much rebuilding being necessary, we should be able to focus on that process more, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know that the three of us have talked about that in different ways, that the process is so important to their musicianship, to their growth, to all those things, that, you know, maybe let's not do quite as much as far as performance and focus on being musicians.
Mm-hmm. Ending our little talk with all your research and all your your knowledge and such, you already talked about, you know, innovative mindset. What are some resources that you found to be really helpful in empowering students that you'd like to share?
For any educator, I think anything John Spencer and AJ Giuliani is golden. I love the things I've read. We've read their book, Empower.
I have that in the next room.
Oh my gosh, it's the best. Have you read it yet?
I just borrowed it from a friend because she said, right, you have to read this book. And I was like, yes, sure, I'll read whatever you want. And I just, we're going to go to the park today and I'm going to go and take it with me. How funny is that?
Yeah, those that, and then John Spencer has videos to watch that are nice and short, but they just kind of summarize lots of different important topics. Yeah, I mean, and then I think they both have podcasts to listen to as well. But they are, yeah, I love anything that they do.
Yeah, another book that I know we quoted a good bit in Pass the Baton was the book Drive by Daniel Pink. So it's not a music book. It is not even a teacher book.
Yes.
But it's fantastic in the way he talks about motivation and what motivates us. You know, according to Dan Pink, people are motivated by autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And when you look at, you know, when I look at myself as an educator and my students, I see that. When am I motivated? When it's something that I'm interested in, when it's something that's meaningful to me, when it's something that I feel like I can strive for doing well. It's the same for our kids. So when we kind sure. of, when we can frame our lessons and our experiences that we're providing for them around those ideas, it's going to be meaningful.
It's also going to be so authentic, and it's not going to be because the teacher said so. Right. It's going to be because my kid is interested in this. Mm-hmm. How can I help support this kid? Oh, that's so exciting. I know you said it's not a teacher book, and that immediately clicked with me because, you know, there are so many amazing books out there that have nothing to do with education, but they're just really amazing. And a couple of them come to mind, like Todd Whitaker's books, Michael Fullan's books. Like some of those are just like mindset books of coming into it with a positive mindset. You know, I'm John Gordon's book of positive bus, the energy bus. And I just got done reading his, and I was like, wow, you know, so many times is our mindset the thing that is holding us back of taking that first step, trying that new thing and really just letting go. I had one amazing quote my friend told me when I first started teaching, and he said, you will be best friends with organized chaos. And I was like, oh, I was like, yes, that's going to be amazing. So thank you so much for coming here, Catherine and Teresa, at Recess Duty. I'm so, so lucky to get to know you and call you my friends. Where can people find you if they want to connect and look for your book?
Well, the book can be found on any of the online book selling places, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, whatever. We also have a website, which is passthebatonbook.com. On there, you can find not only, you know, a link to buy the book, but we have a bunch of different resources that we've put up that are available for teachers. There's a link to our YouTube channel where we've been interviewing other educators who are doing awesome things in their classroom, link to the podcast. Like, so just, there's all kinds of stuff there that's available that kind of supports the mission of Pass the Baton Book. So it's the first place that I would tell you to go for that. For me personally, I'm on social media. It's just at Musical Teresa, pretty easy. And that's also my website, musicalteresa.com, where I blog, and you can just find out various things that I'm up to. And then I know Catherine's got similar things.
Yeah, I've got at singingfinch1 is my handle, my social media handle. Ponderingsfromafinch.com is my blog post. And that Blair Finch Project, if you look us up, we've got two books. One is Full Steam Ahead, and it has a lot of information about like how you could use STEAM in the music classroom. And then our other one is just a love that Abby and I have, which is just Everyone Loves a Story, using children's literature to infuse music lessons and concepts in those books and make those books come alive. So you can find us. We're it with Heritage Music Press or Activate, Lorenz Publishing. So you can find us on Amazon as well. But yeah.
Awesome. And all of those links will be in the show notes below. So we ask all guests here at Recess Duty, What do you remember about recess growing up?
I remember the monkey bars. and trying to do like the flips, but then also being afraid that I was gonna fall off. And
that was
where I like to hang out.
Yeah, that makes me think. I think I was at the four square spot on the recess. Mm-hmm.
I do like four square.
Well, what's funny is as an adult, I love the swings. Like, it sounds silly, but I could go and just swing for hours. It's very relaxing.
Yeah, swings are nice. I also really enjoy setting up tall, you know, being a tall person myself. I also really find like sitting at the playground and just looking over everything. I don't know why. I just thought it was really fun. Thank you, Teresa. And thank you, Catherine, for coming to this week's episode of Recess Duty. Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss our next episode. I'm Levi Allison, and I hope you have a great day of learning, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recess Duty. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, please share this podcast with other educators so they can join the fun. And that is the end of our Recess Duty.